I'm a little disappointed, Scott.
Why is that, Ray?
Well, the world didn't end.
It didn't?
Well, look, it's after the Mayan calendar's run out. What am I going to do with this stupid Mayan calendar now?
But how do we know they didn't do the, they missed the leap year? Like, they didn't carry the three?
Oh, no, they were really, really precise.
Oh.
Like, even though they were guessing about something that was thousands of years, maybe millions of years in the future, we don't know.
They might not have had the term million.
We don't even know when they existed. They were before He-Man. They were...
I think that they lived with hobbits.
And dinosaurs at the same time.
Yeah.
With Jesus riding it.
Yeah. And Stockwell Day.
Oh, speaking of Jesus, I think we have a holiday special to do.
Is Jesus going to join us this year as a special guest? That's a trick question, of course, because Jesus is always with us.
You know, I found out something about Jesus. A friend of mine told me that Jesus, I always figured, because everyone knows Jesus was Jewish, right? But I always thought he was a regular sort of Woody Allen type of Jew. You know about this?
No.
Well, he's not. He was part of some kind of extremist Jewish sect that was like, oh, they were pretty hardcore. That's all I'm going to say. They were like a regular Jew, like a...
How about David Lee Roth?
Like a David Lee Roth, I figured. But no, he was... Let's get on with this Christmas
episode.
You mean like
Jackie Mason?
Exactly like Jackie Mason. But he's more of an extreme Jew, more like Sammy Davis Jr.
Exactly.
This is as educational as this show ever got.
That was very educational.
Well, I'm concerned that our listeners are wishing the world really did end.
And you know what? I just got word. Jesus agrees.
He speaks into Scott's ear all the time.
He does, a lot.
Hey, he just whispered in my ear, it's time to do the damn show intro.
All right, let's do it.
Two jerks on opposite sides of a planet.
Scott Fletcher in Ottawa, Canada.
And Ray Larrabee in Nagoya, Japan.
We are with you two jerks.
You jerks.
Merry holidays, everybody.
Happy Christmas.
Oh, we're not supposed to say that anymore.
Is that right?
Apparently, I've been reading about this on Wikipedia, there are some people who don't believe in Santa.
Is that right?
I never noticed before, but the word Christmas has Christ in it.
It certainly does. He's the reason for the season.
I never even realized that, because I always thought it was Christmas. Like, I never saw that it was two words stuck together. Mass,
mm-hmm.
which means kind of like weight plus gravity minus time.
Mm-hmm.
Chris.
Yeah, I actually thought it was just like acronyms from the periodic table.
Carbon, hydrogen, rhodium, iodine, sulfur, thiamine.
Oh my God, I think that makes crystal meth. I think that's a recipe.
You know what? This show's going to get canceled. Listeners, we got to talk about this because we've got ratings problems. But thanks to some nice people leaving comments on iTunes, we're going to get picked up. The bottom 13.
What? we're in the bottom 13?
Well, if you people didn't know, we were a mid-season replacement. We just got picked up for 13 more episodes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You didn't even get that info to me.
You know, I wanted to surprise you.
Hold on. That was surprise. Did you hear the surprise in my voice? Wait, I'll do it again.
I know.
Whoa, really?
I know. You kept saying we were as good as canceled.
Good as canceled.
We are basically, we were manimal.
We were animal practice.
Hello, Larry?
Hello, Larry. That was really not good.
And other shows that got
canceled. After mash.
After mash. I tried watching that. Did you try?
I did. It was terrible.
Oh, I just flipped it over to Trapper Johnny.
Father Mulcahy.
It was terrible because there was no conflict or anything. It was just them trading jokes.
It's kind of like a cocoon thing, eh? They were just like
sitting
around.
You think if we watch After MASH now, it'll seem really good?
It sounds like a challenge.
Because I watched MASH recently. They've got a version with no laugh track, and it's much better.
Oh, really?
But,
MASH was always good.
MASH was always good. You know, they were forced to put the laugh track on by CBS, and then except in the operating room scenes. There was never a laugh track in the operating room.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. So, but it really makes you think. It makes you realize how unfunny Klinger is, because it's like, without the laughter, it's just a guy in a dress walking in. It's like, okay.
Really?
Are you, yeah.
You're imputing Jamie Farr's comedic abilities? That's a throwdown.
Maybe we're used to the cross-dressing thing, whereas
yeah,
in the 70s,
that's
it's like,
exactly
wow,
it. It's not the 70s.
Dress on a man?
Yeah, you can't compare like back then to now.
Oh, you can't.
Well, you can't, because you can't unknow everything that's been a derivative of it.
That's true.
Like, at the time, it was like, woo, you know? But now, every other show has had, like, imagine the I Love Lucy where she's pregnant, right? Now people have sex on TV and hand jobs and stuff. But
hey, don't mention that stuff. This is a Christmas episode.
Well, that's kind of like a candy cane. So,
Yeah. Pretty much a little curve.
Yeah, curves to the right of it. And but back then it was like it was very, very controversial and very you know, interesting. But now it's rote. Everybody's done it.
It's old hat.
Every man woman relationship with tension is Sam and Diane now.
Hey, speaking of tense relationships, we better talk about what's going on in your life.
Okay.
We are the Super Hosts 2000.
This is the part of the show where you learn a little bit about us.
And what we've been up to?
What's happening, mister?
I got a haircut from a prison, an ex-con.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, he looked like the guy Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm.
And, so he cut my hair and, you know, he was really giant, like, just a big mass of muscles and... I mean, he told me he was an ex-con.
Did he have prison tattoos?
Not that I saw. I tried not to stare too much at him. That, like, you know, like that whole gorilla thing.
Contact.
Exactly. But I could tell that he was an ex-con because he didn't use scissors. It was like a toothbrush, a spoon or something that he used. and the comb.
Whenever I get
the comb, he pulled out
of
his ass. God.
Whenever I get a haircut from an ex-con, the first thing I do, throw my tray on the floor and I just fight him.
Well, that's what happened when he called me over.
Show superiority.
Exactly. When he called me over, there was another guy there. I punched him. I just clocked the guy on the way to the chair. And then when he turned me around to, like, kind of do it, I just totally roundhoused this guy right upside the head.
You gotta have a crazy look in your eye.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So they know to stay away. So what have I been up to, you ask? Well, let me tell you, I've been producing another sister podcast.
Here we go.
Well, I'm not gonna plug it yet, because it's not out yet. This will be coming out in January.
Plug it.
But
what kind of a show is it if you're gonna plug it?
It's about butt plugs.
Really?
But,
wow.
Comma plugs, referring to Game Boy cartridges, which are kind of like plugs that you plug
into
the back of your Game Boy.
Hmm? Gay boy?
Gay boy. Gay boy color.
Yeah, so please, continue your plug.
Oh, well, that's it. It's going to be called Game Boy Crammer, so look that up if you're listening to this in January, which you shouldn't be.
Oh,
by the way,
it's funny. That's
what
my, the guy who cut my hair, that was the name of the guy who shared a cell with him.
Listen, by the way, this is a Christmas episode, so if you're listening to this after Christmas, pause for 1 year and then play again around just before Christmas.
Yeah.
Just keep it. Don't listen to any other podcast. Just keep your iPhone or whatever on pause for a whole year.
Oh, yeah. So continue on about your podcast.
Well, that's it. I've recorded a whole bunch ahead of time. It's basically reviews of Game Boy games.
Do we have any? Do you want to give a sneak peek? Like a teaser?
Okay, I'll play a little bit right now. Before you turn this game on, if you've got a Game Boy Color, you want to hold A and left when you turn the power on. You can do that as the logo's coming in. You just tap it and you'll see the color change. It's a much nicer looking palette for when you're playing the game. Otherwise, you get the default Game Boy Color palette. Controls on this game are jump and punch. If you don't have a manual like I didn't, you'll have to figure it out on your own or try to remember. Holding B will make you run. So you won't be able to finish this game if you're not running. So B and punch. So you kind of have to run and then kind of let go and tap the punch to run and punch. It's a little tricky, but there's a lot of games like that.
That sounds really, really... Where do I sign up for that?
Hey, you just have to type in your podcast thing. Search for Game Boy Crammer.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
See, there it is.
There, I'm totally in. While they're there, what else can they do? Can they,
put a
review for us?
Yeah, maybe a review for the future jerks.
That's what we want for Christmas.
I want two reviews from every... No, you can't, right? You can only write one.
Well, you want one, it's good to give, right? So I would like Ray to have a review on iTunes. So don't give one to me, listener.
Oh, you know what
give
I would
one
like?
Give one to Ray.
What I would like is also a review for me.
Well, that's kind of... Jesus says he doesn't like that.
It feels better to give than to receive.
Is that part of your Game Boy Crammer?
Yeah.
That's the motto of your Game Boy Crammer?
That's what the hairstylist.
The barber guy.
No, he was a barber.
He was a barber. Yeah.
They don't feel comfortable with stylists.
He even had the mask, like from the Bane mask. It was really weird.
They had to wheel him out.
It was really, really freaky. I felt really, whew, I dodged one. Like, they didn't shank me.
I'd be worried that if you fall asleep, he'll start eating your brain. frying it up in a frying pan.
Yeah, I just threw the money at him and ran.
And I'm really, I apologize to any of our listeners who are in prison right now. Can you listen to podcasts in prison?
I don't know.
I think you probably can't, because you're not allowed to have a cell phone or an MP3 player.
You sure?
What they should do is get rid of all the TVs in prison.
Where?
Just play this
podcast.
In Canada,
we're like easy going.
You can make deals, right, on the phone and order hits.
Before you get on the Game Boy, off the Game Boy, I just wanted to say Pac-Man.
Yes.
Is that on Game Boy?
It is. I'm reviewing that next.
Oh, okay. Because I would like to hear all about the Super PACs in Japan, what went on with their election.
Oh, wow. It was really exciting. Except everybody kind of knew who was going to win. Like, the polls were kind of stacked really heavy against for the party that was in power a couple of years ago coming back.
Yeah. Do they refer to it as an erection?
I've heard... No, actually. They don't even try. I think on purpose they use the Japanese word for that.
Do you ask them? Do you debate them to try and get them to say it?
I will next time. I'll wait 4 years or whatever.
No, they have elections all the time.
Oh, I'll wait a couple of months and I'll ask people. I'll
this is the sixth prime minister in 7 years, or in seventh in 6 years, something like that. I mean, they tend to switch out with an election, but still, come on.
Well, I like how the one before, when Obama showed up, he didn't even bother shaking his hand. He was like, you're going to be gone in a couple of days.
We went from like butt jokes to talks about, you know, politics in Japan. This is a pretty diverse podcast.
Well, we got to start talking about some very important thing this time of year. And I'm not talking about erections or anything like that. I'm talking about Christmas and what it means in your heart, etc.
Okay.
Now, when I mention the word Christmas, what does it mean to you inside your sweet soul?
Jesus.
And guts. Did you think
that's
about
what
Jesus?
It means. It means Jesus.
Okay. You know,
what does it mean to you, Ray?
Well, I have a story.
Really?
A story I'd like to read to you. It's a tale about Christmas that we've all been told. And it's called The Best Christmas Ever.
Oh, okay.
Now, Scott and I, as presents to one another, wrote each other's stories. So I'll be reading Scott's story, and Scott will be reading my story, just so you understand the dynamics of this very tense and complicated Christmas situation.
The moonlight shone through the frosted window pane, illuminating an otherwise darkened room. Oh, the light twinkled and danced, cascaded and pranced off the reflective balls, assorted ornaments, and tinsel of the elaborately adorned tree, providing just enough visibility for the recently arrived visitor dressed in a fur-lined suit to rustle through his oversized bag of loot. This, however, was not an uninvited guest. In fact, the house had been decorated with care so that this fine corpulent fellow would feel at home, down to the milk and plate of freshly baked double chocolate chip fudge surprise cookies left as a snack at the side of the fireplace. Now, if eyes generated heat when fixed on one point, then these cookies would have been nothing but gooey splotches of doughy goodness by the time this big guy arrived because of the uninterrupted singular focus of little Timmy. Not a creature was stirring except this four-year-old's tummy. However, Santa's arrival briefly broke the baker's spell, and Timmy was now torn over the excitement about Saint Nick or the mesmerizing smell of those cookies. Timmy, hidden between the leather-winged back chair beside the fireplace and the side table with the cookies, had been waiting hours for this moment. Hours of non-stop recognizance. No time for bathroom breaks. He might miss Santa if he did. No snacks. Ooh, he couldn't resist the seconds. It would take him to get to the kitchen and back. Santa did the entire planet in one night. He surely had to be efficient. More efficient than Timmy thought he could bet safely. No, little Timmy's patience was now being rewarded. The man with the iron sleigh fished and fussed around his sack, searching for what seemed like hours until he stopped, began to straighten up, and a box began to emerge from the bag. It was a box so beautiful, Timmy's eyes could not adequately take in all its beauty. This was to be Timmy's happiest day. Santa held the present in the air and admired it one last time before careening over to ever so gently drop it under the tree. Santa then grabbed his bag, and as he returned to make his exit, the sound of shots rang out, breaking the quiet of this most silent night. Looking down at the left lapel of his suit, a small, darker crimson mark appeared and slowly grew in diameter. The old man dropped to one knee, collapsed to his right, and braced his fall with his hand as he grasped the now stinging wound. Timmy sat sat frozen with fear. The distinct smell of gunpowder now enveloped the room and drowned out the cinnamon-scented candle shaped like candy canes that Timmy's mom had placed lovingly on the coffee table across the tree. Timmy could not believe the scene he was witnessing. One of the world's most beloved and recognizable icons was wheezing and dying at the foot of the Christmas tree. He dared only look with one eye from his partially obstructed viewpoint behind the chair. And while he could not see completely, there was no escape from the sickening sounds of the increasingly weak Father Christmas. With each additional breath, the old man's breathing was getting more and more labored as his lungs filled with blood. Through his viscous inhalations, Timmy could hear Santa weakly mutter to himself,
"Why? Who would do this to me?"
As Timmy wiped at the tears that were welling up in his eyes, another fierce voice replied,
"You really want to know why? I'll tell you why!"
As the distinctive sound of a Zippo lighter struck, and its warm flame lit the room briefly, revealing from the shadows the face and the still smoldering glock of the assailant sparking an unfiltered lucky strike. Santa was too weak to lift his head to spit out,
"Donner!"
"That's right, Batman. I'm Donner and you're a goner. I've been dreaming of this moment for years. I've lived, relived, and planned this moment so much so that, in fact, this experience is not even as vivid as my memories. I'm drinking this in and letting it indelibly mark my neural pathways so I can savor this triumphant day for many, many years to come."
Donner then went on and explained that Rudolph was a meth head, and Donner was always jealous of Rudolph and his relationship with the fat man. It appears Santa picked Rudolph up at a rest stop where Rudolph was pleasuring truck drivers to score money for meth. And it turns out Jesus is the man behind the hit by Donner, because Santa was getting too much press. Jesus notices Timmy, because Jesus is everywhere, like even in the room. Talk about eyes in the back of your head. So Jesus then orders Donner to do a kill shot on Timmy. And when Donner refuses, Jesus kills Donner. As Jesus goes to pull the trigger to now kill Timmy, the door bursts open with zoinks, milk, and cookies. Shaggy eats them all up. Scooby is late, but he thinks he smells some Scooby snacks in Jesus' beard, jumps up on him, pushing him crashing into the Christmas tree, for he is then bound to it to subdue him, and the gang of Daphne, Fred, and the other chick then explain Jesus' reasons for the crime season. They put Jesus, still bound to the tree, onto the mystery machine to be dropped off at the police station. The sheriff's present, and Jesus was on his naughty list too. Most wanted. All is quiet in Timmy's house, dead bodies strewn. Then he realizes that on the roof he has all the toys for all the children of the world, and a shitload of reindeer meat. So he grabs the discarded gun, puts on his boots and mittens, thinking, this is the best Christmas ever.
A week before Christmas, Santa fell out of sorts. Something just wouldn't occur in his shorts. Prescription drugs, stress, and frequent libation left poor Mr. Claus with some bad constipation. This digestive obstruction occurred every year, side effects of Santa's stressful career. Sipping a mixture of eggnog and cheesies, he gurgled and groaned like a bowl full of feces. There was only one thing that for certainly sure his rectal impediment would be able to cure.
"This blockage I have is quite a frustration. The only known cure is complete titillation."
At that moment, a knocking came on Santa's door. A sweet brown friend pushed and pushed some more. The door burst open, then someone shouted all clear. It was Santa's pal Blitzen, the black-nosed reindeer.
"Santa, you ready?"
he replied.
"I sure am."
And they hopped on the sleigh, and they drove to the Clam, a beautiful strip club right near the North Pole, where Santa had hopes to see some ladies whole. Santa found the best table, and beside him sat Blitz. What a wonderful spot to see all those wonderful But Santa was a man who was centuries old. His penis was withered and covered in mold. There was only one thing that could move his brown freight, and that was the thing was seeing a fine woman lactate.
"Sweet milky maidens are what I do fancy."
"Don't worry," said Blitzen. "Here comes buxom Nancy."
Nancy danced and she pranced. Santa's gut didn't budge. It just sat there immobile like a bowl full of fudge. She leaned over and whispered, a sad look in her eye, while Santa listened closely, his hand on her thigh. Her skin felt so lovely, as smooth as some silk.
"Sorry, Santa honey, but those jugs ain't got milk."
He flew into a rage. Blitzen tried to interfere, but was cut in the face from the glass from his beer. Up on the table, Santa declined.
"You incurred Santa's wrath for the very last time."
But the table had wobbled, collapsed in a heap. Santa's head hit a chair. He fell into a sleep. The kind bleeding reindeer tried so hard to revive in the hope that St. Nicholas would somehow survive. Santa opened his eye, and what did he see? Two sexy Christmas ants no bigger than a pea.
"Don't worry, Santa. If her boobs call it quits, we're happy to shoot some milk from our tits." cats.
They lactated and squirted. The milk it did pour when Santa felt a knocking at his back door. Quick as a flash, Santa stood up and said,
"Make room, everyone, for I feel Turtle's head."
Santa sped across the room like a snow speeder's on Hoth. "I fear I won't make it. I'm now touching cloth." As he sailed through the air, just like a spaceship, and moved in slow motion like Neo in Matrix. Santa whipped off his pants with the utmost of care, and his feces began to emerge mid-air. His bloody pal Blitzen cheered on with glee as the toilet bowl filled up with doo-doo and pee. Santa chuckled and chortled and laughed
ho-ho-ho
while the contents of Santa's sweet bowels did flow.
"Merry Christmas,"
said Santa while expelling debris.
"Good night to all. May your colon run free."
That is touching.
So, Scott, how do you plan to spend the holidays? You know, it's what do you mean by that?
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, let me ask you again. Scott, how do you hang on a second. Let me talk. How do you plan to spend the holidays? Okay. I think, you know, listeners, I think Scott has a case of Christmas fever. Let me ask him a few questions, because we had some stuff on the show notes here we're supposed to talk about. Oh, yeah. Now, Scott, it says here in the show notes, you wrote this, you said you want to talk about Palestine or something, and how they're now recognized as a... So, tell me, do you think that... Right. I don't know if we can talk about this discussion while you're in this state of holiday madness. Wait, I think I'm understanding. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Okay, wait. How do you plan to spend the holidays? It's his first Christmas. Interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, really? No, not really. Scott, thanks for asking. That's really nice of you. What's that? Can you please repeat that? Doesn't sound like the same thing you said a second ago, but okay. iTunes review, yeah, we already mentioned that. But what's that, Scott? And happy holidays to all of our listening audience. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to have a full episode coming next week. We'll see you back to the future. Back. We'll be right back.